Well, good morning again. Y'all awake this morning?
Good morning.
There you go. I was worried this morning that I wouldn't be able to sing because the, you know, summer weather that we've got going on in almost November has kind of been messing with my sinuses and my voice and everything. But praise God, I was able to sing. Now, maybe hopefully I'll be able to preach. But God will work through us this morning. 1 Thessalonians, if you want to find that, the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verses 1 through 6. If you look in your bulletin, you'll see that it says 1 through 12. That is not a typo. That's what I sent some of the ladies that do that stuff and do the bulletins and everything, but we'll explain that in a little while. We didn't make it that far. So for the sake of your plans this afternoon, we didn't make it that far. All right, so while you're finding that, that we've been going through, we just started a couple weeks ago going through the book of 1 Thessalonians, and we're just going to go verse by verse through that and see what God wants to teach us individually, but also as a church. But we see that this church was the model church. So that's kind of where we're going to be for a while. But today, we're talking about a true minister. All right, what is a true minister? What does it look like? Next week, we're going to continue talking about that because evidently God wants us to stay there. So maybe it's just for me, but I don't believe that. I believe it's for somebody else or maybe for everybody else too. So if you haven't been here, we've been going through this book together. And as we've gone through it verse by verse, just especially through chapter 1 of this epistle, we've seen that the church in Thessalonica was the model church, okay? And there was numerous traits that had them or that made them the model church and things that they were doing. So far, we've seen this. They were a strong church. They were a new church. They hadn't been around for years like many of the churches here in America. They were a new church plant, new believers, new church members, and they were doing mighty things. But we've also seen that they were a church, which is the people, that had a strong conversion. They had a strong, that's what we talked about last week. Each person, each believer should have a strong story. They should have a conversion story of when they gave their life to Jesus, and they should be willing to share it with other people. We saw this last week. They preached the gospel as it should be preached, and we saw on the flip side of that, the people received the gospel as it was to be received. We didn't add anything to it. We didn't take anything away from it. They just preached the gospel. They were living testimonies for what Jesus had done for them and was doing in their life. And lastly, we saw last week, that they turned from their idols, they turned to God from their idols. And we talked about what different idols could be. Maybe it's an actual a possession that you have. Maybe it's your career. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your pride. Maybe it's your idea of what you think God is like so you can live how you want to live. Whatever it is, they turned from those things and they turned to God. Well, today, we didn't make it to verse 12. I ran out of time very quickly. I was studying and reading and praying, and just the Lord just wouldn't let me get past verse 1. All right, so that's the struggle. And if you read verse 1, you're going to be like, how could you not, how are you stuck there? But that's just where we were. So before we get started, let's pray. We're not going to read the whole scripture this morning to begin with. We're just going to go through it and read it as we go through it for the sake of time. So let's start off praying, and we'll get into it. Father, I just thank you for the church. And I thank you, I think about the words that Paul said, woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. And Lord, you know my voice is struggling this morning, but Lord, you're going to use it anyway. Lord, as my brothers prayed for me before the service, help me to get out of the way and help me just to be your vessel today. Like we talked about last week, that's all you want from me is for me to be available to you. And that's all you want from everybody here. It's just to open up our hearts, open up our hands, and just say, it's all yours. What do you want with my life? And so, Father, help us to realize that today, and I pray that each one of us would grow closer to you, not because of what I say, but because of what your word says. In Jesus' name, amen. So today, as we talk about a true minister, you have a choice that you can make today, all right, that you need to make right here off the very beginning. And this is just what was on my heart. There's two choices of how you can receive this sermon message. All right, you can receive this sermon as I am going to judge the minister that's preaching. I'm going to judge Pastor Anthony, or I'm going to judge my pastor I'm here visiting. When I read this about a true minister, I'm going to say, does he line up with all of that? Which is fine. I had to do that all week as I was reading and studying this, and maybe that's why it was late last night while I was finalizing it. I don't know. But the other thing is this, or you can allow God to evaluate yourself too as a Christian. Are you a minister? Okay? And so I would say, you know, we're probably, realistically, God wants us to do both. right? There has to be accountability. If I'm not preaching the word, I'm not preaching the gospel, I want you to come and tell me. Even though I might not want you in the moment to come tell me, I want you to come tell me. Because I don't want to go to the left or the right or anything like that. I just want to stay in between the covers right here. We're just going to stay in the word because God inspired and he gave it to us. And we don't need to add anything to it or take anything away. So what are you going to do? Are you going to allow God to evaluate yourself as a minister as well today? As you maybe look at me and evaluate me as well. We have to remember that Paul's purpose for writing this epistle, for writing this letter, was to strengthen and not just build up the pastor of the church, but he wrote it to the church to build up the body of the church. So that's why I say, number two, we have to allow God to evaluate ourselves as well. Paul reminded or wanted there to be no question or no misunderstanding about him and his ministry. Somebody had attacked him along the way and said that he was there for the wrong reasons and different motives. And so he was writing this in defense of himself and the other apostles, saying, look, we didn't come for any of this. We just came to preach the gospel. It's pure. He was a true minister. The gospel message, he wanted them to know, whatever I preached to you was the true gospel. Right? This meant that their faith was also true. See, he was building up their faith. If what he was preaching was right and what his motives and all those things were right and he was preaching the word and preaching the truth, then what they had given their life for and believed and what they had gone out sharing with everybody else, he was building them up. Then you are truly saved. They've been made acceptable to God by the death of Jesus Christ. And they had eternal life in the kingdom of God because of their true faith in the gospel and what Jesus did for them, their faith in Christ. So as we go through this message, remember this. The point of this message is to give us a picture of what a strong minister looks like. All right? Not just a strong pastor, priest, elder of a church, deacon, but a minister. What a strong minister looks like. The kind of minister that every, or servant of Christ that really every believer is called to be. All right? So there's nobody here that can say, well, I can check out, I can get on my phone, I'll go on my phone today, or I can make a paper airplane out of the bulletin because this doesn't apply to me because I'm not a minister. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a minister and you have a purpose for being saved. The kind of minister and servant that every believer should be. I've actually heard it said before, and I think I've got it written in my Bible. I've heard it preached before. At some point, my knowing has to result in my going. Okay, so at some point you have to evaluate yourself and say, okay, I come to the Bible studies, I come to church every Sunday, I go to Sunday school, I watch this pastor or this church service online. At what point have I taken the knowledge that I have and the fruit of my salvation, and I'm going to reach others, okay? So at some point, my knowing should result in my going. So I say all that to say this. If you're judging me this morning, you got to judge yourself too, all right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. No, but seriously, I say that because God wants you to know that, and it took me a long time in my life to learn that, and you will never find a better fulfillment than finding a ministry and doing the work of God than what he's called you to. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 says this, "You yourselves know, dear brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not a failure." I love this because God will take the most random verses like that and just mix my heart all up and have me thinking about it all week. Here we see a strong minister. It has a full and fruitful ministry. Okay, it's not a failure. God is working in it. You see, the word failure means empty. It means, if you look back at the original translations and all that, it means ineffective, fruitless. Okay, Paul is reminding these believers that his time spent with them was not fruitless. He said, look, you can't say that God wasn't working because when I was there, look at all that happened. Right? I wasn't there with the wrong motives, and God wouldn't have blessed it. It wasn't a waste of time. People were ministered to, people received the gospel, and those who received it were now living for Christ. That's what you call fruit. That's what you call fruit. So I have to ask myself, is there fruit in the ministry that God has called me to? And the answer that I can say this morning, and praise God, I can say yes. Why is that? It's because of you. It's because of you. Pastor Appreciation Month has been such a blessing, and I feel loved all the time, but I mean, I've had cards. We went out and had good Mexican food last night. Our whole family even got to feed some kids that were sleeping over because of the gift cards and all the gifts that have come in, and so it's a blessing. But hear me, church, and I thank you for that. But the real blessing of being a pastor is seeing the fruit of the labor of preaching the word and you taking it and it living it out in your life. That's the real eternal blessings. If I lived If I live just for October to come around and be like, I'm going to get some more gift cards, and then I'm going to know that God really called me here because I'm getting some gift cards. All right, I would be extremely disappointed. Not to make light of that, because I appreciate the love and the support. I really do. But what about you? Is there fruit in your ministry? I don't know, do you even have ministry? Is there something you're doing? Is there something you're doing for the Lord that you know God has called you to? It doesn't matter how big or how small, what title or title it doesn't have. If you have a Bible study at your house and one person is faithful to show up, your ministry has fruit, okay? Now, I can get distracted as a pastor when everybody goes on vacation and they don't want to come to church and the crowd is light and I can get discouraged. But that's not the way we should look at it. Because it doesn't matter if 1,000 people came every Sunday and we had to have 10 services, but if there's no fruit in the lives and the people aren't receiving the gospel and becoming a living testimony for what Christ is doing in their life, it's all useless. Is there fruit in your ministry? Maybe you're a Sunday school teacher. Maybe you're leading some other kind of ministry and you've been discouraged. If there is somebody that shows up, there is fruit in your ministry. All right? I remember when I was doing youth ministry in the church that I grew up in, and during the summer, it would drop back like 4 or 5 teenagers. From 40 teenagers, 35 to 40 teenagers, we would have some time, and I could pride myself and say, man, look what God's doing. And all of a sudden, in the summertime, there would be 4 or 5 teenagers that would come. And I remember pulling Jenny aside, and I said, what's the point of this? Why are we even doing this? They don't want to come. Why are we even doing this? I think I'm just going to cancel youth for the summer, and we'll pick it back up in the fall. God convicted me, and he said, Anthony, are those 4 and 5 teenagers, are they not worth your time? Are they? You got 4 or 5 that are coming. Are they not worth you studying and giving up your Sunday evening to come up here and preach to them and to invest in their lives? And it changed my whole perspective, and I got to go back to that all the time. You see, Paul understood that that as long as there were people who were receiving the gospel, his ministry was not a failure. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 says this. So my dear brothers and sisters, this is Paul again writing to the church in Corinth. He says, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. You see, it was heavy on my heart yesterday. This is verse 1, y'all, and I was planning on going to 12. You can thank the Lord for that. It was heavy on my heart yesterday that somebody here today is doubting their calling, is doubting the ministry that they're working on, is in a season where only 4 or 5 or only 1 person or people aren't showing up or whatever, and they're wanting to quit. Let me join the Apostle Paul. Let me join God's Word. Let me be your pastor and say, don't give up. I want to encourage you today that if you're sharing God's word, if you're living for Christ, if you're striving to live for Christ, doesn't mean you're perfect. I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect. Only Jesus was perfect. If you're teaching a class, you're leading a ministry, you're involved with some kind of ministry, as long as you are sharing the gospel as it should be shared, it's not a failure. Somebody needs to receive that today. The enemy will tell you that it's a failure, that you need to give up. It's not a failure. All right, let's keep going. Look at verse 2 with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2 says this. You know how badly we had been treated at Philippi just before we came to you and how much we suffered there. Yet our God gave us the courage, to declare his good news to you boldly in spite of great opposition. Here in verse 2, we see that a true minister preaches boldly. Okay, I love that. Even when there's opposition. Now, a lot of times, we think about being treated badly for our faith here in this free country, in this great nation that we live in. All right, what do we think about? Well, I might not get a promotion, right? Maybe people will talk bad about me. They'll make fun of me, and they'll say, oh, he's one of those people. He's one of those Bible thumpers or whatever. Or he's a hypocrite because he's a Christian. Whatever, or he's a Baptist, a Methodist, and blah, 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 all this different stuff. That's what we really think about. What else do we really have to fear? Maybe as a church, we talk about it. We've talked about it in the meetings. What if we lose our tax exemption? if we don't do what the government tells us to do, and we don't preach what the government tells us to preach, or we say something that's against the wokeness or whatever else it is, or whatever else, even in, and I'm not getting political, but even whatever else later on that comes down the road, whatever's coming down the pipe, and we just stick to God's word, we could say, what's going to happen if we lose our tax exemption or this or the other or whatever? But when Paul says he was treated badly, when Paul says that, all right, we have to remember he was beaten. He was imprisoned for simply preaching the good news of Jesus. Okay? So let's put it in perspective this morning. That's all I wanted to do there. You see, right before Paul had gone to Thessalonica, he had been persecuted. All right? And he just says, I was treated badly. He was persecuted, imprisoned in Philippi. In fact, he was forced to leave the city. They ran him out of town. And this is what we need to understand. Even though he became, and he got in this obstacle, he was persecuted, whatever, he didn't let it discourage him. He didn't cause him to whimper down and to hide behind the pulpit and not preach the word. He knew that God had called him to preach the word, and he kept on doing it. So then he gets run off from one city, and when he first got to the city of Thessalonica, he gets persecuted again. These businessmen were rising up against him, and all these different people, Jews and the Gentiles, were persecuting him. And guess what? He's persecuted all over again. Surely he has the right to be discouraged and give up now, right? But no, that's not what Paul did. He didn't do that. Despite the persecution and the hard times, Paul pressed on. There's a song's a couple years old now, but I used to play it on the drums when I played in a little Christian band. It says, I press on, I press on, I press on, and I still don't get it all. So Paul, he didn't get it all, but he pressed on. That comes from Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. This is what he says. Remember, he was persecuted in Philippi. He says, I press on. This is Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. He says, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. See, let me tell you, this is the point. He had an eternal perspective. He really, his faith was real. James talked about that. Faith without deeds, without good works, faith without some fruit in your life, it's dead. Paul had real faith. What he said and what he believed, he put it into action. He said, I'm pressing on not to receive pastor appreciation cards, right? Or he didn't say, I'm pressing on to get my retirement, or maybe that I will just be treated better one day. He said he was waiting for the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling him. Here's the point. A true minister knows that God had called him and called him or her to preach the good news, right? Therefore, they are bold in their preaching. They're bold. What do you have to be afraid of? Regardless of their circumstances, they're going to continue to preach and do and whatever God had called them to do. In fact, the true minister knows that preaching the gospel is the strongest answer that you can give to the critics or your persecutors. All right, if you want to fight the enemy, if you want to fight those who are persecuting you and talking about it, keep living for Christ and watch what God does. Romans chapter 8, verse 31, Paul says this. He says, what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, what does it say, church? Who can be against us? A true minister will preach the word, truly standing on their calling from God, regardless of their circumstances. Let's keep going. Look with me at verse 3 in our text for today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. He goes on and he says this. So you can see we were not preaching with any deceit or impure motives or trickery. Here we see that a true minister preaches with totally pure and clean motives. All right, we know that Paul, we talked about it last week, that he kept it simple. All right, he was a scholar. He knew all the different ins and outs of the law of Moses and all those things. But he said, for your sake, I'm keeping it simple. I just want to preach the gospel. We know that he practiced what he preached. He wasn't somebody who was going out preaching one thing and telling everybody else what they need to do and then going and living somewhere else and living a different way. But we also have to remember this. Paul never tried to deceive or take advantage of anybody. He never did in his whole ministry. He wasn't there to secure a personal following and say, oh, look what that Apostle Paul's doing. He's such a good guy. I tell you, that guy, he is something. We need to go follow him. That's not what he was doing. He wasn't out to get rich, even though he agreed that the church should support the ministers, right? He agreed. He wrote him that. He wrote to the church in Corinth. He said, those who preach the gospel should live by the gospel. He never accepted it. Why did he never accept it? I think he never accepted it so he could prove that his motives were pure. Nobody could ever say he was doing it for the money. He said, I'm doing this because I simply want to preach the gospel. Paul was sincere and he was genuine. He kept it simple. He practiced what he preached because he wanted others to know the true living God through their faith in Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, this is the ESV version. It says this, as for you, always be sober-minded. Now, he's writing to a younger minister that he'd invested in, he'd raised up, that God had called to pastor. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Church, what if, let's do a little what-if scenario here for a second. What if the majority of Christians lived like this? What if the majority of everybody that's here today that's a believer lived sober-minded, we endured suffering, and we did the work of an evangelist? If you've never looked up, I want you to go look up a guy named Ray Comfort. Go look him up. Whether you agree with theology or whatever, I'm just telling you, go look this guy up. Living Waters Ministry. He's an evangelist, and he goes out on the street, and he ministers to people. And his presentation of the gospel is just, it's so awesome. And to see that he has the gift of evangelism, and I love it. That's what all of us should be doing, fulfilling your ministry. What if the majority of us lived like that? What if the majority of us lived like the Apostle Paul? What if we lived like Timothy and how Paul told Timothy? How many people would we be able to reach? What if the majority of us lived like we really believe that there is a place called hell? Right? A place where the lost will be eternally separated from God, in a place where there is no light and none of God's goodness is there. We've talked about it before. Even if you're a non-believer, you can worship Satan here on earth and you still get to experience some of God's goodness. But not once you get into eternity if you're separated from God. A place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, a lake of burning sulfur. Now don't throw stones at me this morning, because Jesus Christ, the one that gave his life for you, he's the one that describes hell like this. What if the majority of Christians lived as if we had a heavenly calling to reach the lost, which you do, by the way? What if we lived like Paul and we said, no, I've got a heavenly purpose. I'm pressing on. No matter what people think of me, no matter whether I'm getting promotion, whether I'm imprisoned, I don't care. I'm pressing on. What if the majority of us were to surrender to the Lord in our life like Paul did? What kind of impact would God make through us? Even if you just took the 130, 150 people that are here today, what kind of impact would God make if we all lived like the Apostle Paul? Church, a true minister, whether you have a title or not, we are to share a pure and genuine gospel. Maybe you've heard this before. My buddy, my missionary friend, my mentor, and one of my buddies, Malcolm Warfield, y'all know the Seed Ministry, he always says this, always preach the gospel, and when necessary, use words. Right? I love that. Always preach the gospel, and when necessary, use words. One of the best ways to share and to prove that our motives are pure and we are preaching a genuine gospel is to live a pure and an honest life. Amen? Look with me at verse 4 as we continue. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, it says this, for we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people. I love that. He alone examines the motives of our heart. Here in this verse right here, we see that a true minister is one who preaches the gospel, and he preaches and ministers. They preach and minister to please God and not people. You see, most people don't want to hear about sin. Most people don't want to hear about a place called hell. Most people don't want to hear about God's judgment. They don't want to hear about that. Most people don't want to hear that there is nothing they can do, no matter how good they are, how religious they are, how moral they are, how many good things they do in their life, that there's nothing they can do outside of their faith in Jesus Christ that will make them acceptable to a perfect and a holy God for them to be saved. Most people don't want to hear that Christ demands a person commit their life to them, to him, and to follow him in order to reach the lost. People don't want to hear that. Church, I'm not sure if you're aware of this or not, but especially today, people don't like the truth. Right? Especially in 2023, people do not like the truth. But I'm going to tell you, it was no different in Paul's day. It was no different. preaching the truth has never been popular. And the temptation is real for ministers, those who are preaching, to water down the gospel, to water down the word of God, to water down the truth, just to keep people happy. Hey, I'm tempted with it. When we were going through the book of Matthew, especially, I remember having times of, oh my goodness, if I would have known this was in here, Jenny, I wouldn't have said I was going to preach through Matthew. And I'm keeping it real with you. I'm human just like you. And I got to stand before you, and I got to stand before God and say, am I going to preach your word, or am I going to hide back here and I'm going to water it down? This is where we have to look at ourselves and we say, do I have sound doctrine? Do I have sound doctrine? Am I really going to? I think about a pastor who their whole livelihood is the ministry. All right, they're full time. I've got a little bit of leeway. If y'all were to fire me because you didn't like I was preaching the truth, I still got a career outside of here. Okay, so I've got a little more leeway. But a pastor who is supported wholeheartedly by the church. Think about the temptation there. If the church started putting pressure on him, we don't like what you're preaching, pastor. You're going to be out of a job if you don't start preaching what we tell you to preach. The temptation is real. And this is where we got to look to Paul. We got to look there and we got to say, he sought to please God, not people. And he trusted. He said, you know what? If they boot me out, if they put me in prison, God's going to take care of me. I'm going to stick to pleasing God and not people. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. The man that God poured out his wisdom on, Solomon, this is what he writes. Fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means safety. And that's in the Old Testament. So see, it's not like, here it is, all throughout the Word of God. A true minister will preach and minister to please God, even if it means he's asked to leave, even if it means he's persecuted, he's going to continue to preach what God called him to preach. All right, let's look at the last verses for today. We're going to bundle 5 and 6 together in this. This is what it says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5 and 6 says this. Paul says, never once did we try to win you with flattery, as you well know. And God is our witness that we were not pretending to be your friends just to get your money. As for human praise, we have never sought it from you or anyone else. Here we see the true minister is one that does not preach or minister for what they can get out of it. I've got that written in my Bible. I don't know if I heard it preached or maybe I read it earlier in my walk, and I said, I cannot do ministry. I can't pastor a church. I can't go do things for the Lord and say, I'm going to do this because I'm going to get something back for it. A true minister isn't in the ministry for what they can get back out of it. When Paul uses this word flattery, the original translation, original word, the meaning of it was the kind of flattery that you expect something in return. So I'm going to come up and I'm going to kiss up to you, right? That's what we would say today. I'm going to flatter you because I want something back from you. This fake kind of friendship. Paul would both encourage and rebuke people with his preaching. He would always, if you don't believe me, read the especially if you go in Galatians and you go to the book of 1st and 2nd Corinthians, there was some rebuke in his letters. But there was plenty of times where he encouraged the church, like we see here in Thessalonica. But you see, a preacher, either way, he was doing it to strengthen the church. So either way, that's what his purpose was. But you see, a preacher who just wants to flatter the audience is not a true minister of God. I'll put it out there like this. Any other Christian who uses their ministry in a way to use people to get something they want is not a true minister. Okay? And that's what Paul's trying to help them understand. He was a true minister. A true minister is one who ministers with a servant's heart. Jesus said, those who want to be the greatest have to be the last. They have to be the least. They have to be the slave to everybody else. They don't need to tell everyone of the good deeds that they do. I don't need to go around and say, hey, listen to what your pastor did this week. I got to pray with this guy, and I prayed with this guy. I want y'all to know I'm doing my job well because I actually studied for an hour each day this week. And so look how holy I am, right? Or if you're involved with the ministry, you shouldn't have to stand up and say, look what I did this week, right? That's not a true minister. They don't need the praise of man. They don't need recognition and praise. They don't need a title. They don't need a paycheck. I often think about it. I said, what happens if the church dwindled away for whatever reason? There was another church down the road somewhere, and the church said, Anthony, we can't pay you anymore. I have to evaluate myself. What would I do? Oh, God's suddenly calling me somewhere else, right? And I think as a minister, the temptation is that for real. But I think a true minister stays faithful. It doesn't matter whether you pay me or not. I appreciate the payment that I get. And it's a blessing. But regardless, a true minister is to preach the word. And to go and do the ministry. A true minister is one who loves the Lord and loves people. That's what they do. And that's why they do. And this love for both God and for their neighbor is what motivates them to do what they do. That's what each one of us should do. You know, I spent a lot of time, as I've talked about today, and some of you may be evaluating me, but I evaluate myself as a pastor and a minister. All right, and I've got other pastors that surround me that'll tell me when I'm wrong, that'll encourage me sometimes. And there's plenty of times, as many of you know, as we become friends and family, that I fall short in some of these areas. But if I would just let God and His Word reveal the areas that I need to grow and submit myself to that and say, God, I recognize that I'm weak in this area. Would you help me? He'll do it. And He'll do the same thing for you. God, I know I need more. I need to do more for you. Or I know that I've been reluctant to go do what you've called me to do. If you just get in the Word and you trust Him and you ask for His help, He will do it. John chapter 12, verse 26 says this. Anyone who wants to serve me must follow me. All right, so there's the first thing right there. If you feel like, well, I don't have a ministry, I don't feel like I'm involved in ministry, are you following Jesus? Because this is Jesus talking. He says, anyone who wants to serve me must follow me. He goes on to say this, because my servants must be aware I am. And the Father will honor anyone who serves me. What a beautiful promise. Paul took that promise and he said, I press on because I'm waiting for the heavenly prize. That's why I go and I minister and I do what I can where I am with what I have. So as we close today, I just want to remind us all that all believers are called to follow Jesus. All believers are called to be ministers. You were saved so you could be sent. And I hope that we've all evaluated ourselves this morning as we study this topic in God's Word. Because we're going to be back there this week. And to be honest with you, I haven't even studied it, so I don't know where it's going to go. But I know we're going to be staying on the same topic. Just like we talked about at the very beginning, at some point, my knowing has to result, or should result. God wants it to result in my going. And the same applies to you. At some point, once you've heard the good news, you've heard the gospel, you've received Jesus Christ, you've came to Bible studies, you've spent time praying, you've spent time in the Word, God gives you the knowledge and gives you His power and His love and His grace and His mercy and His peace and all those things because He wants to use you as a minister. So here's the response questions for today. Number one is this. It's got three of them. Have you received the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ? Have you actually decided to follow Jesus? That's where it's got to start right there. Number two, if you have, are you ministering to others? If you stop and close your eyes for a second, you say, or even if you don't have to close your eyes, is there someone or something that you're doing in the work of the ministry? If not, I'm not pointing the finger and condemning you today. I'm just hopefully stirring you into action. The Lord wants to say, wake up. I got a purpose for you. So don't leave out of here saying I'm a terrible Christian because I'm not ministering to anybody. No, leave out of here today and say, man, I need to get to work. Number three, if you are ministering, are you a true minister? From what we saw today, are you a true minister? Do you want the praise of man? Or are you looking to please God? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you this morning. And Lord, I just thank you for showing us what a true minister looks like. And Lord, I thank you for your gift of forgiveness and salvation, what you did on the cross through Jesus Christ. And Lord, I thank you personally what you've done in my life. And Lord, you know how stubborn I am. But Lord, Paul even said it in his writings to Timothy. He said, I'm the worst of all. Yet God used me as a prime example so others would know that they also could receive forgiveness and be accepted by God through Jesus Christ.
Hello, my name is Anthony Clore, and I'm honored to be the pastor here at Fork Union Baptist Church. I hope you were blessed by the message today, and I want to encourage you with this. God is always willing and always waiting, and always wants to do great things in our lives when we simply read the Bible and hear biblical preaching and teaching. but we must allow what we hear to be applied to our lives. So if you feel God tugging at your heart or speaking to you today, I want to encourage you to stop whatever you're doing right now and respond to Him personally. And if you would like to let us know what God is doing in your life through this podcast ministry, we would be so blessed if you would reach out to us by email at churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. Again, that's churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. You can also try us at our office at 434-842-3390. Again, thank you for listening, and we hope that someday you will join us in person. We meet each Sunday at 11 a.m. Take care, and God bless.